To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
You hope for, you look for, you dream of a regular season when nobody beats you. And right now, it's official. Final score, Oregon 49, Washington 21.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Washington.
We've lost our in-state rivals. We'll never be competitive again. Like, we need to hate each other. We need to be at each other's throats.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt Spring on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network. The Gobbler and the Gravy, good morning. Happy Monday.
What is happening?
How you doing? Nice little weekend. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fill me up, baby. Put that stuffing in me this week. Let's go. Happy Turkey Week, everybody.
Happy Turkey Week. I enjoy this week a lot.
It's a complicated week of radio because we are obviously excited for, you know, all the things to come and the holidays. And then you got to jam 5 days of shows into 3 shows, and it becomes a little difficult.
We got a bit of a jam's worth on we got
a jam's worth the entire show today, man. When do we do Big Pack Picks? Sprague and the Lion's gonna be on Wednesday. That's gonna be weird, but you know what, we do it, we move on, because it's Turkey Week.
Yeah, touche. I forgot Sprague and the Lion is gonna be on Wednesday.
Sprague and the Lion, man. Are we can't magic hat? Are we get a magic hat on Wednesday?
I think we need a magic hat
on
Thursday,
Wednesday.
A Thanksgiving magic hat.
Okay,
I think we should magic hat it
I'm
up.
All for it on Wednesday after, you know, late in the show Wednesday.
Look, at the end of the day, really, if we're just being honest here, we're not going to get to all of what you're talking about.
No, it's not going to happen.
Locally here, people care about one thing and one thing only. Oregon State, Washington State rematch.
Yes, game two. Round deuce. You realize that Washington State is now a possession away from potentially beating 3 playoff teams?
They are 9 points away from beating James Madison and James Madison, Virginia in Virginia, and Ole Miss in Ole Miss, but they can't beat the Beavs.
But they cannot beat Oregon State.
The 2-loss Beavs.
Make it make sense. Are they now like...
Or the 2-win Beavs, I should say.
They're like the Ohio State of the Pac-2.
They are.
They beat everybody, and then they play Michigan at the end of the year, and there's just something psychological that happens in their head,
like,
and we don't understand why. It doesn't make any sense, but God, they got to win that game for bowl eligibility.
My mom's coming over. Well, we'll see. She's got work stuff, but she might be coming over for Thursday, because Thursday's my nephew's actual birthday.
That's a tough one.
Thanksgiving every few birthday, years it falls on his actual birthday.
That's a hard one to deal
so
with.
we're gonna do family stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And so then his mom's gonna bring out a little thing. But before we go to that, my mom is coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her quite clearly, hey, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll do a brunch.
Yeah.
I call her to confirm everything, see if she's going to bring the right dessert. And she goes, so did you get the turkey?
Did you get your turkey in the oven yet?
I said, what?
What? What happened?
Did you get the turkey? I'm not cooking turkey.
Why not?
Why not? Where's the turkey?
You're over at 10 a.m. I'm not eating turkey.
You don't want a 10 a.m. turkey? What's the hell the matter with
no.
you? What are you, a communist?
No. Man, you know what? I might be. I might be on this. I don't want to cook a turkey. Turkey is a process, man.
It is a process.
It's like a 2 to 3 day process.
It's also an overrated meat. Like, we go through this every year. Of all the meats that you could eat, nobody eats a turkey unless it's Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Or a sandwich.
Or a sandwich.
That's
but
it.
That's also, sliced deli turkey is a lot different than bacon and entire bird in
you're
the
right.
oven.
You're right.
And then you got leftovers, and it's good. The leftovers are good for a sandwich or two. You enjoy it. You put it on bread, throw a little mayonnaise on there. You're living the good life. And then you look in your fridge and you're like, I still have a massive Tupperware of turkey, and I'm turkeyed out. I don't want any more turkey.
So are you doing are you cooking any food, or are you going to families?
Dude, we're not cooking anything. We're not hosting. No, that's not happening anytime soon. We're doing both families on Thursday. So we'll do the in-laws.
Long day, dude.
In-laws in the morning, go, and then we get nap time is something that is a religion in our household, and so we're not imposing on nap time because that my personal sanity and happiness is dependent upon nap time.
Teddy's too.
Teddy's as well.
Yeah, you
so
and Teddy.
They go. They're simpatico, right? He's happy. I'm happy. He's rested. I'm rested. Everybody's happy.
Sure.
So we're doing theirs in the morning. We'll be there. They do kind of an earlier Thanksgiving meal, and so we'll snack and eat, watch the opening football games, head home, take a nap, and then walk up to my brother's house for the evening portion of Thanksgiving.
Did you ever think in your life you'd be at a point where you and your almost 2-year-old would need a nap at the same amount?
I never thought I would be there. Never in a million years, and I think this would be my reality.
Like, I don't know why, but I have you laying in your bed, I have Teddy next to you, and I have your wife tucking both of you and saying,
all right, boys.
Night-night, boys.
Have a good nap.
Take a little sleep right now. Let's make sure we get a good nap in. I'm with you. That Thanksgiving nap is always great.
Oh, it's delightful. Well, naps in our house are a big deal every day for the little guy,
same.
Obviously.
Well,
but,
yeah.
If I get to take one, that's delightful too. But, yeah, especially on Thanksgiving when you get a little bit of turkey in your stomach early in the morning, a little tryptophan going through your system, you just want to put your feet up on the couch.
Yeah.
You want to fall asleep.
Yeah.
The middle afternoon football game will probably be a dud. We'll get all excited, but it's a short week, so it'll probably be ugly and low scoring, and you fall asleep. And, hey, there you go. You wake up, it's the third quarter. Let's see how this thing turns out.
Yesterday I was trying to keep up with the football, right? And I told you I was going to go see, because I didn't like the afternoon slate whatsoever.
No.
I saw the Eagles choke a game away. I watched the last quarter of that.
How dare you miss Cards, Jags going to overtime? Oh. What is the matter with you? Trevor Lawrence throw 5 picks in that game? Jesus,
God.
Man.
I know I sprayed line on the Browns. Talk about a garbage game that was. Just not good football, really, in the afternoon. So we went to go see Wicked.
Yeah, what's the review? Do we like it?
Not as good as the first, but still good.
Okay.
I mean, it is what it is.
Hard to duplicate the magic of Wicked.
Well, so the people we went with are my cousin and his family. And they told me that in the actual play Wicked, the first act is better than the second act. So it's basically, movie-wise, broken up into first act, second act.
Gotcha.
The catchier, better songs are in the first one. But, it's a good spin on the storyline. I actually like that storyline probably better than the OG.
Okay, and then the OG Wizard of Oz.
But the OG still needs to be the OG number one.
Stand
because
alone.
Of how it was made and when it came out and what it meant to have color on a movie, all that stuff.
It was a big deal.
But what's funny is we showed up there, and as I got there, there's about 6 minutes left in all of the fourth quarter. So we're well into the witching hour.
Yes.
And the previews are happening, and I'm the guy who has his phone out in the red zone on mute, and I'm not looking at any previews.
Not seeing anything going on in front of you.
I want to see if the Seahawks are going to cover.
Right.
I want to see the end of this Giants-Lions game, which was insane. The Colts-Chiefs. Yeah. Like,
tough backdoor in Nashville for Seahawks betters this weekend.
100%.
That backdoor was open, and Cam Moore kicked that thing down.
Dude, I got backdoored in that was not great. Did not have that
getting
on my bingo
card. Getting all
excited
for eating your popcorn, watching yourself get backdoored by the Tennessee Titans, the worst team in the NFL.
Normally I do, I feel an emotion when you lose a bet that way.
Oh, it sucks. It's the worst way.
It does suck. I'll kind of give you some advice, though. If you can ever be in a position where you're eating refrigerated Junior Mints.
Ah, that's a good way to handle the backdooring.
It makes the backdooring feel a lot better.
I'm not a big Junior Mint fan, but I see if I insert the candy that I enjoy into this idea, I'm with you. That would take a little bit of the pain
away. What helps ease the pain of a triple backdoor?
Lubricant. Lubricant.
Can that please be a drop? Can that that needs to be a drop.
You need to pull that.
That has to be pulled.
Because you did get triple backdoor this
week. I
got
triple backdoor.
3 times. Eagles were up 21-0.
They were up 21-0.
The Patriots were dominating
Patriots
the Bengals.
Patriots were handling their business.
Yep.
Like, I was on the right side of everything.
Yeah, you were.
You were feeling good.
Yeah, you were.
You were feeling fantastic.
And the Pilots lost. It was a great Sunday. It's a
great... Little Bob, how's your uncle? Yikes.
Yeah. Now, I do have a follow-up on the Wicked question, because it's been about 20 years since I've seen Wizard of Oz. It's been a long time.
Sure.
But I remember the premise, obviously. I get it.
You right.
know, Wicked Witch, Good Witch, you know, monkeys flying around. I get it, right?
Sure.
Guy behind a curtain. Who is he? Ooh, spooky.
Tiny rat dog in the wind.
Tiny rat dog in the wind. We're not in Kansas anymore. Do you guys know that?
No. Where's Toto?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The end of The Wizard of Oz, doesn't she wake up and the entire thing's a dream?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So now we have a backstory of the dream.
So do you know at the end of the Jim Carrey Grinch?
Yes.
So Jim Carrey becomes a good guy. His heart grows three sizes bigger, whatever.
Look at that, yeah.
He saves the day after robbing the day. Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
You know how at the very end it fades out, it shows Whoville, then it shows the mountains around Whoville, and then it fades out more and it shows a snowflake?
Yes.
You know at the end of Men in Black, we're doing the alien thing.
Right, now we're in the cat
Now we're in a marble.
Collar. Yeah, in a marble.
Aliens are playing with us in a marble.
Ooh, we're in a marble.
I would say Wicked is basically that version. So, yeah,
okay.
The OG Wizard of Oz is Dorothy is really just dreaming because she got hit in the head during a tornado.
Right.
But that dream world is a real world. It's just in a separate world of worlds.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm following
yeah,
along.
That's how it explains
I saw somebody bring that up over the weekend. Like, how do we have a backstory of a dream when the dream was, it happened once and now we have a backstory of the dream? But this makes a little bit of sense.
It's a world in a world.
It's a world inside of another world.
Yeah, yeah. It's just been belief a little bit. You know I mean,
yeah, there's witches and, you know, people flying around. I get that point.
Yeah. Does your wife not like, she's not interested in any movies either?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, with a little one, you don't have a lot of time for movies to begin with. You know, that's, you know, occasionally
you didn't
it could be
see
a date
movies before your kid.
No, I didn't. It's actually one of the things I regret most about pre-kid dirt. I wish I would have seen more movies in the theater.
Because
you had time on your hand. Like, I had nothing to do.
Yeah, but he golfed a lot.
I did play a lot of golf. I did. But this time of year, I had nothing
to
do.
Of year.
Like, there's, you know, like, why didn't I go to more like 1 o'clock showings by myself? Just go walk into a theater, grab a bag of popcorn. I'm a big fan of the solo movie date.
It's phenomenal. I agree.
You see what you want to see. There's no debate about what are we going to go see. I just wanted to see this movie, but I didn't do it enough. And now I don't have the opportunity to
do it. Also, our time slot at that point was
right in the middle
we were
of the
on
day.
The air at 1 o'clock.
That's true.
Right in the middle of the day. But I had a window there. I had a window.
You did.
And you know,
you did.
Shame on me for not doing a little bit more with my free time.
Quick production note: I believe YouTube is back up. The cameras were all frozen when we started.
We were off YouTube.
We did that. Yeah, we came up. Everything was frozen. I'm like, what the f's going on? And so I think I have it back up running.
Done.
So please,
it
now
appears
comment
we're on.
If people are back.
Hello.
Apologies, but they froze over the weekend, and there's nothing to indicate it till we start.
Okay. Well, we're off to a great start here. It's rivalry week here on The Fan.
Yes, it is. Happy rivalry week, everybody.
Ducks and Cougs and...
Excuse me?
Dude, this is a weird week for me.
Okay. I know. We're packing a lot into 3 days.
Ducks and Huskies.
Yes.
Beavs and Cougs.
Beavs
that
and
is
Cougs.
Right. Our new normal.
I sometimes forget my team exists. I have listeners that DM me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the Beavers.
Oh, that's right. They're playing this weekend again.
I'm in a different football mode, man. My team got a big win this weekend.
They did. Your fantasy team's red hot and rolling.
Well, I was talking about my soccer
team. Oh, your soccer team. Oh,
okay. Forest won 3-0
at
Liverpool, the defending Premier League champs.
Ooh, take that, Liverpool.
Oh, it's a big win. You're above
we're out
that
of relegation.
Nice.
You back up in the tables?
We're in the table.
You're in the tables
gotta
again.
Love that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Nottingham Forest in the tables, baby.
I know you hate how much I talk about
it. I do, yeah. Drives me nuts.
But so it's a weird week. We cannot obviously, we're not doing a show Thursday.
Nor Friday.
Who's normally on Thursday?
That would be the commish.
Josh Pape.
He was just in Eugene, Oregon.
He was.
And now he's going to hop back on after being on Thursday at 6:30. He's going to be on today at 6:30.
Yeah. Yes.
So we can't fart around too much today.
No, we got to get right to him. I did not get the chance to say hi to Josh Pate. I did not get the opportunity. I attempted twice. One time I saw him on the sideline pregame, and then he jumped into the stands to go start taking pictures of people. And I'm like, well, I'm not just going to
People were screaming his name.
People were screaming his name.
He's
Kamish Pate. And he jumped up. He like asked some lady, and she was like, yeah. And he jumped up into the stands to go take some pictures. So I don't want to do the like awkward like stand around and like wait for him to come back down. Be like, hey Josh, good to see you again. You know, I didn't want to do that. And then I saw him, he was over on the USC sideline as we're getting closer to kickoff, and I was wandering over that direction to go say hi. And then he bumped into the wonderful Jenny Dell, CBS sideline reporter. And they entered into about a 20-minute conversation. And so I kind of did the stand-around thing. And then they kick me off the field now when game starts. So I had to go up to the booth, and I think he watched the majority of the game down
there. Yeah, I think he has the Lanning media pass.
He has the media pass that I do not have access to.
Which is hilarious because you host a show on the home of the Ducks.
I think you get
any media pass we'd ask for.
I was also reminded one of the reasons I don't stay for a lot of games is I cannot stand watching games in the press box.
It's pretty terrible.
It's a great vantage point and all that is wonderful.
But you can't have it. There's
underneath
no noise
the allowed. Hood of this car is a psycho.
Yeah.
And you're caging that psycho up. And it's not good, man. You got to let your emotions fly in moments like that with big plays. And I don't have the ability to do that.
So if you saw me at a game and I was talking to somebody, would you talk to me or would you wait or would you just not talk to me?
How long am I waiting?
I don't know.
Because I'm not going to interrupt a conversation of people who haven't seen each other.
Would you wait to talk to me?
Well, you're a little bit different because I see you every day.
What if you didn't see me every day? What
if I hadn't seen you in 5 years and Sprague's back? I would wait for you. That's also different. I work with you every day. That's a slightly different.
I got a real feel there. I don't think he waits. I don't think he talks to me.
I'd say hi to you eventually.
I think he texts me, hey, dude, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
Sorry, man.
I'll see you again next time.
Well, you're just that like weird person standing off in the distance of like.
He's a friend of the program.
He's a great friend of the program.
That's twice now he's been here where you haven't talked to him.
Not true at all. He's been here 3 times, and I said hi to him at the Ohio State game. We had a good conversation for that game. But in that game, I did the thing where he was talking to Taylor Lewan and Compton, and I'm like standing over there for 10 minutes, like the kid waiting for his mom to tell him he could get up from the dinner table, like, can I come say hi now? And I just, that's an awkward position to be in. I don't like awkward positions.
Well, Pate's going to be on at 6:30 to get his thoughts, seeing Oregon-USC in person. We will dive into the Oregon-USC game. We got firings happening in the NFL and college football yesterday. Both Pac-12 guys?
Yeah.
One is just, like, I don't know what to make of one. The other is, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I get it.
Probably time.
Probably, given, you know, people were having real conversations about them in an ACC title game when they were, like, 3-0. And I'm like,
look at that schedule. It's very manageable. And no, it's not.
Yeah. Suddenly,
also, Stanford, not very good this year.
That's tough one right there. So we'll get to Pate at 6:30. We got a busy show. Dirt and Sprague, it's good to be with you. Let's start next on 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, we got the Commissioner Josh Pate joining us. An odd week for us here on The Fan. We have shows today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then we're off Thursday and Friday. So we're back again. Is it December on Monday? Yeah. So we're back on the 1st.
Yes, we are. December 1st.
This is our last week of November.
This is it, man.
Quick question for you. There's a lot to get to today, and I didn't know really how to separate all of it in both college and the NFL. I guess I'll just ask this. Is Jamar Gibbs the best player in football?
It was pretty damn good yesterday. He's been an unbelievable back this year. You can make an argument. I don't know if I would say he's the best, but also he's got the numbers to back it up in a lot of games.
You wouldn't say he was the best, but you can't say he's not the best.
I can't unequivocally say that he is not the best player in the NFL because he almost single-handedly won them that game yesterday.
He had 219 rushing yards on 15 carries.
What was his total yardage on the game?
264. He had 264 scrimmage yards. He's fourth in rushing. I think he's third or fourth in total scrimmage yards. Like
he led the team in catches with 11, three total touchdowns, the 70-yarder in overtime.
Of a team that is pretty loaded, or at least how people view them as a loaded team with Amon-Ra, David Montgomery, the quarterback, the tight end who just got hurt, right? Jameson Williams. He's far and away their best player.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, defensively, they were not. I mean, second half, they were better defensively yesterday. That was one of the bigger surprises of the weekend for me. Like, the Lions have been a lock to not only win, but to cover games when they are coming off a loss. They had not, I think what's one of the longest streaks now in the NFL, it was going into the weekend already, like in the history of the NFL. There's only two teams, it was like the Broncos in the late 80s and one other, that had a better streak of bouncing back and covering and winning coming off of a loss, and they were in trouble there in the first half at times. You're like, oh my God, are they going to get blown out in their own building? And then Jahmyr Gibbs saved the day late in the game, and especially in overtime.
We are not the smartest football people in the world, but once in a while, our knowledge or our ball-knowing ability shows itself, and I think yesterday absolutely proved that in some instances, we know more ball than even the people paid millions of dollars to know ball. Why Jameis Winston was not starting week one continues to look like the dumbest decision that Brian Daboll made while he was still the coach.
Yes.
He had a trick play touchdown to open the game. He threw for 300-plus yards, multiple touchdowns, and he caught a touchdown pass after breaking away from a linebacker.
Yes, he did.
Unbelievable.
He had an unbelievable game, and it was funny. I don't know if you saw for the start of overtime. They sent Russell Wilson out for the coin toss, and I don't know what if he still wears the captain C because we had to name him the captain at the start of the year. And I'm like, what? It just reminded me how dumb all of that was. And I look, dare I say, I know Jackson Dart played well. I don't know how that whole thing would have played out. They would have been more in the mix for the playoffs had Jameis Winston been their starter at the beginning of the year.
Well, they just fired their DC, and I want to bring this up real quick. So they fire their DC. These are the games that they've blown. They blew yesterday 27-17. Now, Jameis was quarterbacking that game, to be fair. They blew 20-10. You know who subbed in for Dart in that game?
Who subbed in for Dart in that game?
Russell Wilson.
Ah, that's right. And didn't he score any points when he came into the game?
No.
No, the answer to that is no.
They blew, 26-8. That was a Dart game.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, the Cowboy game.
Cowboy game.
And you can say Russ played great because he had all those moon balls. Sure. Did he come up with the play when he needed to win the game?
Dallas won the game.
So I don't know. I don't think it's ever been more clear that Jameis should have been the starter for that team.
Yeah, that one never made any sense to me.
Never made sense.
Especially knowing a guy who has been a bit of an issue in locker rooms at times in his career, especially when he doesn't get what he wants and you're bringing in a rookie quarterback. Like, Jameis Winston is the perfect guy for that because he doesn't have that big of an ego anymore. He understands his role. If you give him the chance to play, he'll take it.
He'll play.
And he'll chuck the ball around. He's got no fear throwing the football. We've known that all year. But he's also just a good culture guy and a good locker room guy. And having those three in the same room made literally no sense at the start of the year.
You know what happens when you take Russ out for a rookie? He puts his head down. He runs to the sideline. He starts leaking stuff to media. You know what happens when Jameis gets subbed in for the rookie? He high-fives him off. Goes on.
And if he wins the game, he's going to eat a W with you after the game and say, way to go, Rook. Nice win. That's what Jameis Winston will do.
I think this weekend continues to prove my point that in the NFL, basically everybody sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you look
except
around.
Except maybe the Rams.
Except maybe the Rams, because that
like
was
a wagon.
Thoroughly impressive last night. I did not have that on my bingo card of the game being over at halftime.
Well, once they lost Baker, you were like, this isn't going to happen.
Well, yeah, and it was over well before. I mean, you got the fluky pick six where the Otten couldn't hold on to the ball and the Rams ran it back, and you're like, okay, this is already 14-0, and the game just started, and Tampa's decimated by injuries.
Would he complete his first 11 passes?
Yeah, 11 for 11.
Devontae was unstoppable. They had a 3rd-and-17 that they converted to Puka along the sideline. You're like, all right. right, that was going to be a stop, and now it's not, and they're going to score a touchdown on this drive too, aren't they? Philly blowing the 21-0 lead was one of the bigger highlights of the weekend, just in terms of like,
Yeah, the offense looked fine, and then
and the start
didn't.
Of the game, they were throwing the ball to A.J. Brown, and it was like, okay, here
Gotta
we go.
Pick up Dak,
everybody's going to be happy. Dallas is doing dumb stuff. They're not converting. They had a – you muff the punt, and they don't score inside the five. This Philly.
Yeah, you know, one of my worst takes, I think, going into the year was Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally lumped him in with Aaron Rodgers in terms of aging, and he is
that has not happened.
It's aged very poorly. I think you make an argument that's the best receiving tandem in the NFL.
It's hard to disagree with that point, man.
Because he's playing phenomenally. He's catching he's become Chris Carter. All he does is catch touchdowns.
Just catching tuds, man.
And Nacua is like probably underrated, even though his stats suggest he shouldn't be. So
yep, the biggest thing for them too is that Stafford is healthy and he looks healthy.
Yeah, do you guys think that they lied to us during camp?
I don't think that they did.
Because my takeaway is I think they were exaggerating / lying.
He's got spinal. He's not going to play.
Well, they're like, he needs an epidural to even stand up. And now he looks incredible. He looks like he's 10 years younger.
He is the easy front runner for MVP right now.
That's not supposed to happen on November 23rd,
Are you
Andrew.
Sure about that? That's what LeBron has done for like 15 straight years. Like, how is this guy still doing it? It doesn't make any sense. What's he taking? Give me some of it.
We'll get into more NFL dealings, but it's time. It's an early edition, a weird week. For us, Josh Pate was at Oregon USC. He's going to join us early on a Monday, get his thoughts on the Oregon USC game in person and the other dealings in college football. The Lane Kiffin announcement expected this week after the Egg Bowl. Josh Pate joins us for an early ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Gather your flock with Pelican's new Flock Party IPA, bringing big hop flavor to every game day celebration.
The Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach, brewed for wherever the day takes you. From bold IPAs to crisp lagers and non-alcoholic refreshers, Pelican brings coastal craft to every pour. It's a weird turkey week here on 105.1 The Fan. And so in doing so and having a weird week, we got to kind of adjust things on the fly.
Yes, we do.
And we're grateful. We're thankful. A lot to be thankful for this week. We are very thankful for our guest, Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football, who joins us usually every Thursday. And he was on last Thursday. He agreed because he knows the schedule's weird. His schedule's weird to hop on here on a Monday, an early edition Daily Ticker. Josh Pate on YouTube, Josh Pate College Football Show, at Josh Pate CFB. Give him a follow on social media, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. He's on there. He joins us. Good morning, Josh. I hope you enjoyed your brief Oregon stay. I want to get your thoughts of what you made of Oregon's performance against USC. Some thought this might be upset alert. I didn't question it. I thought Oregon would handle the business. What say the commissioner of Oregon's performance against the Trojans?
Well, before we talk about Oregon's performance against the Trojans, in the interest of pumping both of your tires as full as I can on this Monday, ooh, you should know that several people, multiple people, people, if you will, the plural of people, commented on my weekly appearance on this very show.
Hey.
And a couple of folks yelled out. There you go. A couple of folks yelled out, love you on Dirt and Sprague. Love you on Dirt and Sprague. And I had the wife in tow with me. And I think the best comment that I can give you is at one point she asked, what is a Dirt and Sprague?
How did you describe us to her?
We ask that every day, too.
I just went with my usual, you don't want to know. Yeah, and we moved on about our business. Yeah. But yeah, it was a great, great time up there. Hey, I thought out of all the stuff you could talk about with the game, I thought special teams was a very, very huge edge. Like everyone at USC is complaining about it because they imploded. But I was up there Friday. Dan's really good about access. So we sat in on a bunch of meetings. And I went to the special teams meetings, too, because I'm always fascinated by that because I know the least about it out of everything that happens in a football building. And I got to tell you, it's almost like you saw a movie script or read spoilers to a game before the game itself happened. Sitting in Oregon special teams meetings, not to betray confidence or anything like that, but there were so many aspects of the special teams operations in that game that went exactly as they expected them to go. They thought they had a huge edge in that third, that compartment of the game. And I think with all the other stuff, the way it played out, I mean, think about how big that punt return was. Mm-hmm. And think about it was 14-14 at that time. I thought that's what really turned the game. And so outside of that, I also – the vibe I kept getting was the next man up mentality sort of is said at every program. But at Oregon, they really practiced it this week. Because if you tell yourself, we're going to be without DeCorian Moore, we don't have Evan Stewart, left tackle's shaky, center ends up going out in the game, and we're just going to kind of roll on anyway – that's really next man up. That's what Notre Dame was able to do last year on the offensive line, and that's what Oregon's able to do right now. Now, moving forward, what you hope is we're going to get healthy. Like, you're buying yourself time, and, you know, you've got probably a dogfight on your hand again this Saturday, but you hope you can get healthy. That's the big fear from other people is Oregon gets loose in the playoffs and they get healthier, because that is another team you have to add at the national championship table. If they're at least 90% healthy, if they got those difference makers on the field. And I thought it was a really, really good testament in the meantime to what culture and next man up really means. Like, that was an emphatic statement, I thought, by them.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the culture win that they had, and I think it was well said on the show last night about next man up and next guy filling in. And Fox Crater's a guy who had left tackle and only played like 32 snaps all year, and all of a sudden he's playing meaningful snaps. And Duck fans are panicked, but it's a reminder of the recruiting and what they've done. When you look at the big picture right now, it's kind of weird in the state of the sport that Oregon fan is almost hopeful that they don't go to the Big Ten championship, so they have the opportunity to get healthy if they are to beat Washington this upcoming weekend. Where do you view Oregon in the landscape? Because you've been one who has not sold your stock, and you've been trying to remind people on the show, like, hey, just, you know, remember, they're still out there, and I know they don't have those quality wins that we thought at the start of the year. You picked them to go to the title at the beginning of the season. Just where are you at on them in the big picture right now?
Still where I was. Look, Georgia's had the same vibe in the SEC. Like, Georgia in the early part of the season, they lost to Bama at home, and then they won some real close games. I mean, they were down 10-3 at halftime against Auburn. They had to come from behind to beat Florida. So people were down on Georgia. And I kept saying the same thing I say about Oregon. You cannot sell on these teams with these kinds of talent rosters. I said the same thing about Texas. Now, Texas won't make the playoffs, but even Texas, until the very end there, you don't sell on those teams, because there are actually a few teams in the country per year that can win a national title. And it takes a certain level of talent to do it. That's the minimum baseline. That's the barometer. So Oregon meets that. Georgia meets that. Texas meets that, which goes to show you not everyone who meets it is going to get a shot at it. But those are more so than these other teams. Like Texas Tech, I don't think meets it. And everyone's really high on Texas Tech right now. I'm way higher on Oregon's chances to win a national title or Georgia's chances to win a national title than Texas Tech. Well, my point is, since then, Georgia's turned a corner, seemingly, and they beat Texas pretty emphatically. So now everyone's like, oh, no one wants to play Georgia. Well, when did you ever want to play Georgia? When we're talking about the playoff, like when you were never going to get them in a playoff game in September. It was always going to be in December or January. They are all building towards it. Ohio State did it beautifully last year. They're all building towards peaking at the right time. Well, that coincides with trying to be healthy at the right time. And everything about the rehab and everything about the treatment and everything about the plan that any injured player is on is it's geared to get them back immediately if possible, but ideally at the right time. And so if you can do it, or if you throw your dart at the bullseye and you get close to the bullseye, Oregon's good enough to win it all. They're good enough to play for and win a national championship. So anybody who gave up on them or is giving up on them, I don't really think understands what they're looking at. And that's okay. That just means you can make a lot of money on this.
Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. The Commissioner of College Football is joining us here on a Monday. It's a gobble-gobble week, and so he's agreed to hop on this Monday morning, a bright and early ticker. Josh Pate on YouTube at Josh Pate College Football Show. He had an episode last night. He's going to have one tomorrow, and then I apologize.
No Turkey
here.
Day show.
No Turkey Day show.
He said last night, not a heathen. He will not be working on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We'll
pass take the that gravy to Josh Pate, and he'll catch up with you again. Give him a follow on socials at Josh Pate, CFP. You said something that piqued my interest. I wanted to ask you a Husky question, a Washington question, but you said something in your first answer that piqued my interest. When you said you watched the special teams meeting, Lanning opens up to a lot of you guys. You national pundits, you get all the access. Us local folk aren't allowed in, but you guys get the keys to the doors. I'm curious, man, when you watch this and you say it's almost like a spoiler, like you see what they're watching and what they're saying, and then you watch the game and you see it kind of play out,
I'm curious. I assume that you go to most of these kinds of meetings wherever you go because you're national paid state. When you watch team meetings around college football, how does watching Oregon's and then how it plays out compare to some of the other programs you watch in college football?
It's just like Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State. Those are the three I would compare it to. It's all really, it's about attention to detail. That's more so than anything what stands out. Some of it's more intense than others. I mean, Dan's just a total psychopath. So everything that you watch in your hype videos or whatnot, that, if anything, the team meeting is a little bit above and beyond that. So it was funny. Kenyon Barner was there the other day, and I was talking to him the next day afterwards because we're both sitting in team meetings and stuff like that, but I didn't talk to him on Friday. I talked to him on Saturday. He said, look, I know what my time at Oregon was like. I know the rooms I've been in, the coaches I've been in or been around. You're around a bunch of them. Is that normal? He was basically asking, hey, what we just watched Dan do, is that normal? I said, no, there's really nothing about that guy that's normal. But it would be one thing if you get up in front of a crowd, if you get up in front of a team and you just talk and you throw a lot of stuff around and then you don't back it up. Because there are several people who could do that. But to be that way, to be so maniacal about everything, but also to have this attention to detail like some mathematician with Coke bottle glasses on would have, that's the difference. There's no stone left unturned. That doesn't mean you're going to win every game, but it means you're exhausting every possible resource, every possible angle, and that's what stands out the most when you're around Kirby, when you're around Saban or DeBoer right now, when you're around Ryan Day. They're some of the best at what they do, but they've got a whole building full of some of the best at what they do. And when you get to see it, when you're in a position as I am, and I'm really blessed to be in it, where you kind of get to compare, you realize why the same ones win over and over and over again.
You had a really good thing on Lincoln Riley last night about, you know, the aftermath of this game and the both sides of the argument, right? Of like, you know, you give him credit for realizing changes need to be made while simultaneously saying, why the hell didn't you do this from the first day that you were hired? And I thought you saw a game this weekend of a coach. They're on the same timeline in terms of when they were hired. One guy who's done it right from day one of recruiting the depth and the line of scrimmage play that is required to win at the highest level. And that's nothing. That's something that Riley has never really been able to do, whether he was at Oklahoma or USC. We know they're elite throwing the ball, but that's kind of the only way that they can beat you. I guess the question I would ask, because you're still on, you're not selling your Riley stock, and I get the point, but where do the expectations go from here? Like, it's just wild to think that USC is now on the brink of missing the playoff again. Indiana's going to go to two college football playoffs before USC, and that's just bananas to imagine saying that 10 years ago.
That
right?
is crazy to like, hear. I'm what glad is you laughed
right?
at that.
What? Okay. Like, it just, so I guess, like, how long do you let the cake bake in the oven, if you will? Like, how long do we give this to see? Because I went into the game thinking to myself, I know USC is going to be elite throwing the football. Can they win in any other category? And then you watch the game, and they were softer at the line of scrimmage. They weren't as good defensively.
Special
they couldn't
teams.
Make special teams. Yeah. That you mentioned it was a disaster, and so it's all those little things that I feel like it's always Riley in a big game that they can sling it around. We know it, but can they beat you in any other way? And that's the hard thing that I have with Riley.
I didn't hear a word after Indiana's going to make the playoffs twice before USC does. That is really that was a tennis racket to the face. I really can't get past that. Whew, okay. So what I said on the show last night about expectations was, Lincoln got to USC, there was a ton of hype, and he hired poorly. Okay, so he paid the price for that. He got 3 years in, and then he had his big come-to-Jesus press conference after the season, and this was winter before last, and he said, philosophically, we're starting from scratch. We're tearing it all down. And I said at the time, and I'm still standing by it, if he was serious about it, and I said that at the time, I still think the guy can win. I think he can win a national title. I really do think he could be that at his best. But it was going to remain to be seen. So I do think he hired good. I do think that they took a new approach to things. But what I said was, even if I'm right about all this in the here and now, it's going to take 2 years minimum, maybe more like 3 years, before they can really compete for a national title, because you can't portal your way to that. That is a fundamental change in high school talent acquisition and development. And so that was going to take 3 years, which at that point would have been 26 before we ever got to that point. All right, since then, I think USC has gotten better as a football program, but they were going from average to now just good. They're a good team now. That's not good enough in year five for a USC fan when you're paying him the kind of money you're paying him. And if you feel that way, I get it. And I said at the time, if you're not going to have another 3 years' patience, then I'm totally fine with that, because really he's making the decisions and moves now that he should have made when he got hired. That's the difference in him and USC versus Oregon. Like, Dan made proper moves when he got there. Lincoln did not make proper moves when he first got to USC. And that's kind of where they are now. And they're at least another year away from being able to be on the periphery of the championship slash playoff conversation. Not a long way away. I know he gets dogged all the time because he says they're close. Well, here's the difference. When he has said they're close previously, he wasn't right. I actually think he's right now that they're kind of close, but it's going to take at least another year. And that's if everything keeps trending the right way. So are you willing to get to year six? I think it will be five or six before you're really competing for a title. As inexplicable as that is, that's kind of the boat you're in if you're a USC fan.
A lot of Lane Kiffin noise last week. You said some interesting stuff to us about how much you'd communicated with him. Maybe you know, and you're just going to wait because they've had this weird announcement thing for the Egg Bowl that makes me think, is he going to stay? Otherwise, like, what are we doing here? Maybe he goes to LSU. Maybe that is the case. I kind of have the thought in this NIL world, I think Lanning's a good example of this. Oregon is obviously well run. Their AD's good. Their collective is together. I think the coach is more about, it's more about the coach to me, the institution. I understand that resources can be different, but like this whole, like, Lane can win a title at LSU. Well, excuse me, who's in the playoff this year? It's Ole Miss. Like, he could win a playoff, he could win a title this year at Ole Miss. I think it's more about coaches in this world. What say you, Josh Pate?
I do agree with you. And I want to state, you guys will appreciate what I did yesterday. I mean, I thought it was an obvious joke when I tweeted, wow, guy, I know where Lane's going. All I can say is, wow. Like, I thought sarcasm was still alive in 2025.
Apparently, not with you, man.
It met its untimely demise. Like, are you serious? I had really serious people with fully functioning brains saying to me, like texting me, what do you know, man? Hey, between you and I, between you and I, laugh. That's what I said. Ha, ha. So I've talked to him this morning already. I've talked to Lane like 30 times in the past week. I don't know where he's going. Truthfully, he may not know where he's going. I will say this. I do agree with the sentiment that at your very best, you're trying to go to a place to get what you already have at Ole Miss, which is a run at the national title. Like, you're in the playoff. Signed, sealed, delivered. You're in right now this year. So, that's the way I think. But maybe I think too simplistically to be a head coach. Maybe that's why I haven't been hired. Maybe I'm just too idealistic and too childlike with my wonder on what job I should take. I think it's going to be a mess. I don't think there's an easy way around this. And I do believe that even if he leaves, he wants to coach that team in the playoffs. And I think there may be some people at Ole Miss, if that were to go that way, that are dead set against it. And we're setting up for like a showdown. And I have no clue how it's going to end. I really have no clue how it's going to end.
All right, good stuff. Josh Pate, the commissioner, joining us here on an early edition this week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We are very thankful for you, Pate. I think you know that, but we wanted to tell you, very thankful. Thank you for being flexible, hopping on a Monday. Does the wife cook, or do you guys do family stops on Thanksgiving?
We outsource that. To use an industry term, we absolutely outsource that. Okay. And what I mean by that is, we can't wait to see our families this Thursday. That's what I mean by that.
Okay, you're from Georgia. Is it pecan or pecan pie?
It is pecan.
Yeah. Okay. And do you like pecan pie?
I love it. I eat an entire one. Like, I will inhale that stuff. Oh, I am a believer. I'm a believer that it is not necessary to save room for dessert.
No.
I just believe eat dessert. That's what I believe in.
Yeah. Amen, brother. That's a religion we can get behind. Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football. His latest episode dropped. It's last night, but also go check it this morning. If you subscribe, which he indicates it's free to do and helps him a lot on his way to 500,000 subscribers, helps him a lot. You can go check out the latest episode. He'll have one tomorrow. And then the week is going to be a wild one with the holiday college football ramping up into the last week. Thanks so much, Pate, for being flexible and hopping on this morning. Hope you enjoyed your time in Oregon, and we'll chat with you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, there we go. Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football. Went very long there, but that's what we do when we get the commissioner. We got to take advantage of our windows. That is the daily ticker today, and it's brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, who want to remind you that they're born at the beach and brewed for wherever the day takes you. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Some thoughts on what Josh Pate said. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Double Dog
Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome back in. We went a bit long there with the commissioner, but we do every week, so it's no shocking development. You know, actually, I do want to react to some of what he said there. So two things stuck out. The Kenyon Barner comment, who was here in Oregon as a player at the height of all of it.
Had a hell of a highlight in his career against USC, the all-time record for rushing yards and rushed for over 300 yards down in L.A.
His head coach was just coincidentally fired by the Raiders yesterday.
Yes, he was.
And you know what? When you're the highest paid at your position, rightfully so.
I'd totally forgotten that they made him the highest paid offense coordinator in the NFL, and my reaction again was, why?
I picked them to make a wild card. I could make an argument today, even though they beat the Titans, they're the worst team in football. They are so bad.
They are horrible. Geno Smith flipped off fans running off the field, so things are going great.
Oh, I think Geno and Pete are done.
Yeah. Oh, it's not.
I think the Raiders have to, I think they need to. Yeah. I don't even know what the answer is because I think their owner kind of sucks, but they need to blow it all up. GM, coach, all of it.
Thanks, Tom Brady.
Good job, Tom. But keep calling those games. Anyways, I digress. What Kenyon told him, and then also, I don't know about you. I love little nerdy tidbits.
Sure.
And we can get into we'll get into the USC-Oregon game, obviously, right? But like finding out or hearing, however you feel about Pate, and he does get the access, basically you're in the same level of Ohio State, Georgia, Bama of preparedness, detail, coaching, to see something play out in a film breakdown and then watch the game and go, oh my God, it's exactly what they said. And now, yeah, they're talented, but there's a lot of talent in college football with the portal era. To hear that, that's something that, like, if I was a Duck fan, those are the tidbits that made me go, yep. It solidifies even more how I'd imagine the fan base already feels for a guy who's only lost 7 times.
Yeah, there's a line in The Office from world-renowned Andy Bernard who said, it would be nice to know you're in the good old days when you're in the good old days. And I will allow every Oregon fan from brief moment to understand you are in the good old days. And at the time, we thought it was the guy who got fired yesterday in Vegas. It felt like that was a run
that would never get matched again. You're never going to be able to do that. And that 4 years of four BCS games and a national title appearance, like just a moment in time, lightning in a bottle, and it had slipped through your fingers because he walked to the NFL, Helfrich, and then Taggart, and then Cristobal, the rest is history, right? These are the good old days. Did you see Lanning again on game day this weekend? Bill Orm asked him in the post game, like, he's not going anywhere. He's committed to seeing this thing through. His name doesn't get mentioned at all, and I don't know how the rest of the season is going to go. You have one of the best coaches in the entire sport, and the attention to detail that they have was one of the biggest reasons I was confident going into that game. That's never been who Lincoln Riley has been as a head coach, ever. And all of a sudden in special teams, defensively, little angles here or there, Oregon found a way to get an advantage, not to mention the fact that he didn't have to reset his entire program philosophy 2 years in after he got hired because he wasn't making the right calls. And so you were living in the good old days, and this is going to be a fun run the rest of the year and the years to come.
Well, let's talk about the game. Oregon beats USC. Game day was in town. We'll talk about that in the second hour. How do you feel right now about the Dan Lanning situation, given what's happened with Lane Kiffin? Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.